Imagine, and this takes a lot of imagination, that if you came to Grace Lutheran Church on a Sunday morning, you would be healed. Members and guests alike. It doesn't matter if it was the most simple of common colds or the most rare of cancer. It doesn't matter if you've been battling arthritis for years and years and years, or if it's something new that just came up. It doesn't matter if it's indigenous to Middle Tennessee called allergies, or if it's just a part of aging. Imagine, just think, what would happen after the fourth Sunday that no matter who came and all that came, that they would heal, they would be healed. Okay? So what would happen that next Sunday? Who would come? Why would they come? I got to thinking about that. Not that I have the power of healing. I don't even go that way. But think about it. Who would come? And I find that the answer is the same that happened to Jesus. When Jesus was walking on this earth, who came? And in the crowd, we found the skeptics, that this had to be a trick, and they wanted to see how the trick was done. We found the critical thinkers, that this was not of God, that it was of the devil. It had to be a cult. It had to be something. We found those who love entertainment. They wanted to see the show. You know, boy, that would be cool. Leprosy, you know, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, you know, the mute talk. That would be a show. I want to see a show. The desperate. They've tried everything. Nothing has helped. Nothing has worked. I guess I can't lose anything by trying this. And the hopeful. The ones that had heard what had taken place. Who had heard that the Messiah was here. And they believed. And they came. Crying out, "Mercy, Son of David." Yeah. Help us. In the crowd would be all kinds of people. In the point of the text, Jesus Christ has already been crucified. He has already risen. He has shown himself to the disciples. And he has now ascended into heaven. And the disciples have had Pentecost. That's in Acts chapter 2. The little flames of tongues of fire, you know, resting on their head, and they spoke in languages that the crowd knew, and so they could hear the gospel in their own native language and come to faith by that power of the spoken word working by the Holy Spirit. And now Peter and John are together, and here is an individual in need, and what does he want? He wants money. Out of all the things that have happened, he sets his sights pretty low. He wants money. But Peter says to him, "I don't have any, but I'll give you what I have." And he tells the man to rise and walk in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And he does. And there in that audience, even though it isn't Jesus himself, there in the audience were people, and they saw this, and they talked about it, and word went out. And next thing you know, you got people from the temple along with the temple guards, and Peter and John are arrested. And the next day, that's our text. the next day they're standing, in a sense, on trial. There's an inquisition. You heard the words a moment ago. You may follow it on the back of your bulletin. The next day, the rulers and the elders and the scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them, that is, Peter and John, in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or what name did you do this?" By what power? By what name? Sometimes we skim right over the question because we really don't catch what's being asked. You know, we're used to watching, in our day, we're used to watching magicians. And they all got their magic phrases. You know, one of the ones I remember growing up was abracadabra. Do you remember that one? Yeah. And then, you know, the rabbit came out of the man's top hat, and abracadabra, and, you know, the hankies would, you know, keep on getting longer. And it, you know, it was like that abracadabra had power. And I remember even there was magician kits that kids could have. And there was even, you would save box tops of your cereals. This goes back a ways. You know, because they'd tell you on the radio programs, if you send these in, you can get, you know, from Blackstone, the famous magician, you could get his book of instructions. And you'd have that word, abracadabra, all that kind of stuff. By what name? By what power? Because the name and the power are connected. By what name, by what power does a miracle happen? By what name, by what power is salvation available? By what name or by what power is Jesus raised from the dead? That whole paragraph is connected and built around that question. And when we come into worship, we invoke that name. As Pastor Al began the liturgy, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the one true God, three persons in one, by the name. And the name has power. And yet in that audience, in the days of Peter and John, there were the skeptics. Because they had thought the problem was over with the death of Jesus. This is a fad. It's going to go away. Don't worry about it. But it didn't go away. And they wanted to be sure it went away by, if you remember, they placed a guard outside the stone that sealed the tomb. Because they remember, and they brought it up amongst themselves. Hey, he said he was going to be raised from the dead. We better make sure that doesn't happen. That would be the worst possible thing for us if that happened. And so they guarded the tomb. And even though the testimony of the guards told them what happened, the guards were instructed to lie. By what name? The question still remains. By what name does a pastor stand in front and forgive sins? By what name do we approach the throne of God's grace? By what name do we ask for what God promises to give? And by what name do we ask for God's mercy and leave it to His will? And sometimes I think we're like the people in the crowd. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we're hesitant to ask. Sometimes we're waiting for somebody else to ask because we want to see the show. Or maybe we want to see the proof. We're like the kids in that sense. You ask. I'm not going to ask, you know. But what the text tells us is we have been freely given the name. And everything is subjected to him and his very name. It tells us several ways in scriptures that that's true. That he has subdued all things, says one phrase. And on it goes about how Christ is the authority. Unfortunately, what has happened in our generation is when we look at the scriptures, we have a disconnect between it names Jesus and Jesus Christ himself. We look at the Word of God as powerless. We look at the Word of God as archaic, old news, history, some poetry, man's interpretation, because that's being said too. Even in scholarly Christian ways, they proclaim that this Word has no authority. And words like infallible or inerrant or true no longer apply. As if we're smarter than that. And it's almost what we have done is we've put our name above God's name, above the name of Jesus. The event here in Acts reminds us that we have an awesome privilege and a joy to come to the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ. That by his very name, people are and can be healed, but we recognize not everyone gets healed. I don't understand why, but that's up to him. But we do understand that by his name, by the name of Christ, which is the only way of salvation, which is the last part of our text, that people have eternal life. And for that one, we are told in the scriptures that God desires everyone to be saved. He desires no one to be lost. That's a greater love than ours, isn't it? I mean, think about it. Do you really like everybody? You know, sometimes isn't it hard to like some people? But by his name, we are given life and salvation. To the crowd again, as they stand before this tribunal in that sense of the priest and the scribes and the elders and the high priestly family, the whole clan is there. Peter, by the power of the Holy Spirit, reminds them that as Jesus walked on this earth, and Jesus is the Word made flesh, so the use of his name is as if it is Jesus in the flesh speaking. So in the absolution and the forgiveness of sins, it isn't the person pronouncing it, it is the name that in the place and in the stead of Christ, your sins, as we proclaim it, are forgiven. And it isn't by the power of this body or Pastor Al's body, but it is in the power of the Word of God, the name Jesus Christ. And yet what I find it interesting is the kinds of things we want from God isn't always the kinds of things he wants to give us. The man asked for money when he could have asked for forgiveness. The man asked for money when he could have asked to walk. The man asked for money when he could have asked for eternal life. Do you ever do that? We pray for health. We pray for wealth. We pray for a little bit of quiet when the house has been noisy. We pray for better leaders. And it's not that these are wrong, But I think sometimes we forget that the greatest thing that we get to ask for is salvation. The greatest thing we get to rejoice in is that God has answered our prayer. Every Sunday is a celebration that Christ has saved us. And in doing so, then we get to ask for the salvation of others. I mean, just think, what would happen if Grace Lutheran, every Sunday, everyone who came was healed? Would the church be full? How many are in need? I think that's what people want. But what they need is salvation. For all the people that Christ healed, they still died. And if they had no faith, they were lost eternally. What did they gain? Now, there's no example in Scripture of that happening, but think about it. And so what we offer here is life and salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and the hope that we have for eternal life. And God calls out to us, and he hopes that we're not like the TV commercial. You know, the one about the V8? You know, where we're given, you know, something to drink, and then you look over and you see the person, and I could have had a V8. You know, what I hope and pray is that we don't come and we get salvation, and then we look over and say, oh, I wish I had the lottery. Or I wish I could have had, you know, a new car. Or I wish I could have. Do you understand? We set our sights low when God calls our heart to be open for the greater. That he gives us a relationship with him. Not only now, but for all eternity. And it's all in the name of Jesus. So name something big. Skyscrapers are big. The planet Jupiter is big. But heaven and God. And that is yours. In the name of Jesus, amen.